So we'll read the Bible verse.
Chapter 4, verse 11 of the letter to the Ephesians, about page 891 in the Brown Bibles. So let us read the verse. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers. I wonder how you all feel about it. What is eternal life? It's said that to have wealth and health, to keep your youth, these are the things that, and to continue living is eternal life. But perhaps you haven't died, but to live like a zombie and simply keep moving, is that eternal life? One time a new candidate to be ordained as a minister was asked this question. So, what is eternal life? And this candidate answered, to believe in Jesus and to go to heaven. And having heard that, the interviewer said, you are about to be ordained a minister and become a missionary, and yet you don't know what the eternal life is. How are you going to teach others in that condition? And he continued by saying, read the Bible, specifically John chapter 17, verse 3. About page 825 in the Brown Bibles. So let me read it. Now, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. And so, indeed, it is to know Jesus and to know God. It's not that you can keep your wealth and health and youth, but rather, nor is it to keep moving without purpose like a zombie. Instead, eternal life is to know the eternal and only God and His Son who came to serve Him. And so the candidate thought, or the way he answered implied, that eternal life was gained by moving, by going somewhere to heaven. John tells us that is very different. It is to know something, to know Jesus. Where are you facing? What are you looking at? What are you thinking about? That is eternal life. That is where you find eternal life. When we know, or when we learn of God and Jesus, there is a revolution in our lives, in our very existence. It creates a heart full of thanksgiving and a desire to know more. So when you have experienced this revolution in your own life, I think you will understand the meaning of these words. It is when you meet Jesus and learn of Jesus and God, eternal life is to know Jesus who serves God and to know God Himself. Just knowing this one fact brings, this one thing brings a revolution into our lives. This knowledge changes us in our ascents. It changes our whole lives. It changes our home, our study, our work life, and it changes the way we think about success. Of course, we cannot forget, we can't ignore the knowledge and information that we get from the world, from our work, from our study, from our general lives. And we have to live on this earth. And so we need the knowledge and information that human beings have created on this earth. But no matter how much of that we have, it is not going to cause a true revolution in our lives. To store up knowledge, to pile up knowledge, right? Pile up information. There are those who do this. Yet, they seem to be very nervous and always worried that they have enough. No matter how much you have of knowledge and information from this world, it can't make that person righteousness. No matter how much knowledge you have, you may look like a wonderful scholar, but you still are a sinner. The knowledge that makes a real person. I missed something. When you are studying and piling up knowledge, when you look for information, you feel that if that flow ever dries up, if you don't keep studying, so you never feel satisfied. Because once it becomes old, it's no longer useful. But eternal life is to know the only true God and His Son who serves Him, Jesus Christ. This never gets old. It never gets dry. This spiritual knowledge, not just in this world, but in any world, in the coming world, it supports us and nourishes us. It may be difficult to grasp. It may not really correspond to the world that we live in. But on the other hand, in this world, this we have to live. And on the other hand, it gives us the ability to see this world as it really is. If we go to the Old Testament and look at the book of Hosea, chapter 6, verse 6, page 690 in the Brown Bibles. So the Old Testament, Hosea, chapter 6, verse 6. Let me read it. Hosea 6:6. For I desire mercy, not sacrifice, and acknowledgement of God rather than burnt offerings.
Mm-hmm.
I desire mercy, not sacrifice, and acknowledgement of God rather than burnt offerings. God wants us to know God. It's the spiritual knowledge that He asks of us. To know God itself is truth. This is what God rejoices in, that we know Him. To know God itself is what is most necessary, the highest priority knowledge we can have. If we look at Hosea chapter 4, again verse 6. Hosea 4:6. My people are destroyed from lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I also reject you as priests. Because you have ignored the law of your God, I will also ignore your children. Here, the prophet says, God says, because you have no knowledge, the people are destroyed. Is it the knowledge of this world? But rather, no, it's because the people do not know God that they are destroyed. To have the knowledge of eternal life, it's because they do not have that knowledge of eternal life that the people go down to destruction. The important thing is to know God, to store up that knowledge, to live in that knowledge. The knowledge of God is so great. If you lack that, you will be destroyed. It's not just that they didn't know of God, it's that they didn't even make an effort to learn about God. When you were raising children, in their tradition, it was said that a child has a basket into which you put their spiritual knowledge. But in the background of this reading from Hosea, in this age, the children's spiritual knowledge, they didn't help them to understand about God. Rather, they tried to cause them to forget God. As God's people, as a parent, number one responsibility they had abandoned. And God says to them, I will even forget your children. They have caused this to come upon themselves. They didn't help their children to know God. And because of that, not only are the parents lost, but the children's generation as well. And so they are headed for destruction, the whole people. This is not, the success of this world is not true success. We have sayings about failures that look like success and success that looks like failure. Sometimes we do things that look like they're successful, but they eventually lead to a failure. But when we store up the successes in our spiritual life, in our knowledge of God, this often may look like failure to others. We wonder in our spiritual lives, why do we have to experience these feelings, these disappointments? Why do we have to
네.
always fail the tests. But in our failures, if we know God, surely we are building up wisdom in ourselves.
경험할 깨달지 않을까 생각합니다. 하나님을 알고 예수님 알아가는
To have a life in which we believe in Christ, believe in God, there may be tests, there may be trials, yet they lead to success. As in, I'd like to say more. Like Hosea, like David, like Paul, like Moses, like Ezra, like Joseph. If we are always aware of the importance of storing up spiritual knowledge to the believer, to know God, to know Jesus, to God, to Jesus, that is the kind of knowledge that we need to pursue, to study, and to take advantage of in our own lives. And this is how we will come to a success that we can perceive as success. We live today in the 21st century. And I think it's a little bit different from the 20th century. Now, when I was a small child, I really loved Doraemon, the comic book. And Doraemon was supposed to have come from the 21st century. It was never described. There were no pictures of cars flying through the air. And Doraemon came from the 22nd century, I'm sorry, not the 21st. But here in the 20th century, what did people think about the 22nd century? But in the 20th century, people decided to try to follow humanism and the knowledge of that human beings had discovered and stored up. And we thought that we needed some sort of education that leads to growth and internal change. And yet, humanity, through this very human thought, created idols out of their ideologies. Communism, socialism, humanism, racism, nationalism, militarism, imperialism, democracy, capitalism. These ideologies come to confront each other, and they led, in the end, to two worldwide wars. And even after that, these ideologies remain, and they continue to fight against each other, even to the point of war. This is what we know from history. And recently, there's this fancy new word, globalism, which we don't really understand, but seems very fancy. We want to feel all the various enjoyments of life, and we continue to do as we please. That's the kind of world that we are in now. That is the spirit of this age. There's some truth, some rationalism to this, but there is no absolute criterion, no absolute truth in it. We believe that we're satisfied, but somehow we are always thirsty for more. And why is that? And that's because there's no love, no compassion, no salvation in this knowledge. We don't know where to go. We are very like lost children, don't you think? And why do we become like that? Why? It's because we have avoided true knowledge. We continue to avoid true knowledge. And what is this? It's not human knowledge, but rather it's the knowledge that eternal life is to know the only true God and Jesus Christ who serves Him. Even today, this is the true knowledge that we need. The Lord God, the Father God, the Creator God, and the Son Jesus, to know Jesus is what we are failing to do. We don't even try. Human growth, human passion, human development, human success, human glory, all of these are eventually based on knowing Jesus. So let us look at this 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. The second letter of Peter, chapter 3, verse 18. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Peter says, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our maturity, our growth, our success and glory, all is bound, is based on the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This knowledge, this wisdom, is not something of any given time, but it is eternal. Today we have the installment ceremony for the consecration ceremony for the teachers in the church school, especially of the children. In the second worship service, we had the blessing of the new first graders. Of all the children in our church school, all of the people in the adult classes, this knowledge of God creates a revolution in all of these people. That is the purpose of Christian education. God has given the church ministers and teachers, and their responsibility is to create this revolution in the spirit of the members of the church. And how do we do this? Through these encounters, we are creating this revolution in our very existence. And who are we encountering here? Of course, this is to meet Jesus and the Bible. To know Jesus, to know the Bible, is what is necessary to us. Without the Bible, you cannot come to Jesus. In the Gospel of John, John himself describes the Bible. At the very beginning, he says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And that Word and that God was Jesus Christ. What does this mean?
성경.
The words of the Bible.
예수님.
The word of God is all
하나님, 하나님
about 말씀이? Jesus Christ.
예수 그리스도라.
If Jesus was God's word, then God's word, the Bible, is about Jesus.
목자,
and so pastors and teachers have their most important work to bring people to meet Jesus, to bring people to meet the Bible. To belong to the church to meet the Bible will create a revolution in our own existences. When I was a kid, my father said, don't eat snacks because no matter how much you eat, you will always be hungry. But with the Bible, it's never like that. And it's weird because many Christians don't know this. You can't overeat the Bible. You can't read it too much. God teaches us that read the Bible in the afternoon, read it in the evening. This is a parallel with the Jewish custom of those ages where they ate twice a day, at least the big meals. If you feed on the Bible in the morning and in the evening, if you learn about Jesus, you will achieve eternal life because you will know Jesus. And this will create a revolution in your life, in your existence. In the second worship service, when I blessed the young children, I described how it's necessary for them to experience a revolution of love. And this is not from studying for exams or studying English. It's not the education of the elite scientists. What creates a revolution in their lives is to know the eternal, the only true God, and His servant, Jesus Christ. This is what creates the revolution in their lives. In these young spirits, these young souls, to create a revolution in their lives, they need to know God, they need to know Jesus, and we want them to be passionate about them. There's a an old figure, a man named John Wanamaker, who founded the greatest department stores in the world. And he also served as the postmaster general of the United States. And when he was being confirmed, he said, if I can't go to Sunday services, if I can't function as a teacher in the Bible school, I cannot accept this position as Postmaster General. A reporter once asked him, Chairman, what is the greatest investment that you have made in your life? What is the most successful investment that you have made? And he had a answer prepared. He didn't hesitate, but said, when I was 10, I made my most greatest investment. At that time, I spent $2.75 on a beautiful leather-bound Bible. And this is my life's greatest investment. And this is because that Bible has made me the man I am today. And the reporter, I asked again, if that's so, if we just buy Bibles, will we become successful? And he said, no, it's not like that. You'd have to believe in the true God, Jesus Christ, and to perform the teachings of the Bible in your own life. If you rely on God, if you rejoice and enjoy your work, then you will discover at some time that success has come to you. He once gave an address to the Worldwide Council of Bible Schools, and he said, the most important thing, the most basic thing that I learned was, as you all know, I got almost no public education. Yet when I went to church and studied the Bible there, that was the greatest joy I had in my life. I received knowledge that I could not get anywhere else. And it was the base, the foundation on which my own personality and all of my business efforts were built, and how I was able to strive for them. I, through the Bible, met Jesus, and Jesus gave me the experience of a revolution in my life. God, who is my strength and my help, I relied on Him, was able to walk with Him, and in this way was given conviction. Reading the Bible, I got new ideas and visions, and praise the Father God. I think this is so important to us today in the 21st century. Even in this wonderful 21st century, is this a teaching that we don't need? Surely that is wrong. Whatever age we live in, this is the most important teaching of all. To know God, to know Jesus. How much are we investing in that? John Wanamaker was a man of God, I believe. To him, his way of life is one we can all learn from. And to our children, if they can learn of God, if they can learn to live as He did, I think that's a worthy goal for us to strive for. And today, the teachers who will stand before us, let us all pray for them and support them. So let us pray.